go wrong.
Yeah. Well, same thing with the vaccines. We were supposed to get X, you know, X million of them, and they sent 20,000. You
Wow.
know? Yeah.
Yeah, but that I still don't understand why that happened.
Snafu.
Well, when you're doing really complicated things with thousands of trucks and hundreds of shippers and receivers, something's bound to go wrong somewhere. Hopefully, it'll get straightened out quickly.
So, Bonnie, hi, and Allison, if you're there.
I
And
got to
Joyce.
unmute.
Joyce is
Allison.
on mute.
Allison disappeared.
Maybe she couldn't get it to go on again. She had problems last time.
Now she, I think she had a telephone call the last time.
No, she her green screen picture appeared, but she wasn't in it.
Larry, I want you to know that I do have goals. I need some new goals. So I have a goal that by the first of the year, I will have the blankety blank laptop set up. Or at least, you know, if I don't have a setup, at least I'll be using it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you don't have to have it set up to use specific programs.
Yes, and that's probably, you'll never know if I've set it up or not. That's probably what I'm going to end up doing. I don't know what my problem has been with this.
You need somebody to do it for you.
Dick has an IT background in, you know, except he partitions it. Which drives me nuts. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, partitioning was that was big in the day when the hard drives were smaller.
He doesn't need to do that.
Right. Now you just stick in another hard drive instead of another partition.
I'll tell him you said so.
Yeah, I don't know about a laptop, but I have a 500 gig hard drive in my new laptop. I went from 125 gig.
Wow.
I'm seeing terabytes in laptops these days.
Oh yeah, but it just costs more money.
Well, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I discovered after I got mine that it didn't have a CD or
Right.
DVD drive
Right.
for all the software I have.
Yeah, but okay, there's two things you can do. One is you can buy a USB CD drive, DVD drive, and just plug it in. And the other thing is you can take your software disks and using your old laptop, just copy them onto a flash drive and
Okay, yeah.
install them through a USB flash drive. That's what I did.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I've done that.
Normally, I don't do any of this. This is Dick's thing. But he has so many things on his list.
Well, at least you can't go out for dinner.
Very true. So, how is everyone?
In a weight holding pattern.
I'm doing my first virtual show January 16th.
Great.
I'm not so sure it's great. They don't seem to know what they're doing.
Who is it through? What show?
And they don't seem to know what they're doing, and They're not getting back to anyone with information. We don't know what it looks like. We submitted, you know, our things, 12 things, but they're not going to have a way for people to pay on the site. They have to call the artist or get in touch with the artist. So
that drives me nuts. I'm sorry.
I know.
Absolutely drives me nuts as a shopper.
And as my other fellow artists and I have been talking, and I don't know why they're even doing it, to be honest with you, because I don't see how it's going to work. But.
Well, I tried to buy something, I think it was Craft Boston, because I'm trying to, number one, support my artist friends, but also to learn how, you know, which things I like as far as virtual and which I don't. Craft Boston, you could buy it online, but then you had to email the artist and pay for shipping by emailing the artist before you could actually buy the item.
Oh, that's terrible.
Isn't that awful?
You have to pay in two different places?
Well, yeah, but this is an ongoing issue. Hi, Shirley and Allison and Mark.
Were we talking about Eventme or no?
I don't
that
know.
One, no.
Okay. No, Eventme, they go shipping into the price of the item, but you end up paying commission on the shipping too. And that, you know, again, this is an ongoing issue. How to get things shipped at the lowest possible cost without having to pay a commission. And everybody has that issue. You know, the only time you don't have that issue is if you're just selling off your own website and you have the information there. Can't hear you.
You're garbled. eBay had that problem in the beginning because they used to not include shipping in the commission they charged. And then people started saying, oh, $1 for the item and $45 to ship,
right.
It. So they had to combine it or just, you know, lose too much.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it wasn't that I couldn't hear you. It was garbled.
Has anybody tried pirate ship?
I have a lot of friends that use it.
I looked at it, but it wasn't that much of a savings, you know, like 50 cents on a priority box. Which
well, I think the savings are actually quite a bit better than that.
Well, for the sizes I needed, it wasn't. There was
that's
about
surprising.
50 cents difference between USPS and the pirate one. For this, you know, priority box. Maybe some of the other ways to ship might be.
I always use FedEx. If something gets broken, they handle it, and their breakage rate is maybe 1/5 of everybody else.
I just had 3 tubes of prints go out to the same person in the town 45 miles away. And not only did it take 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to deliver 2 of them, they lost 1 of them. So I drove out to Richmond and delivered. Thankfully, it was someplace I could drive to. But I'm thinking of switching. I thought about doing FedEx because I'm, where'd it go? Because I'm upset with the post office anyway because they took our mailbox away.
Hey, I predict that Amazon is going to start their own shipping company.
Yeah.
Not,
would not be surprised.
For their products, but for anything.
That would be interesting.
They already have.
For their own products.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to probably compete with FedEx and UPS.
Well, they used to deliver through the post office, at least some things, and so did UPS.
Right. And
I would love that contract.
Somebody stuck their big head in it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they cut down on staffing and won't allow people who retired or otherwise, you know, out of working there to be replaced. There's a hiring freeze, you know, during the time.
Well, I feel for the post office this season because they are basically a mess. I have so many friends that, you know, the packages are who knows where.
Well, UPS is no better. I've got two packages I'm waiting for. I just called the company today and they're resending it. I ordered it to send a third and it hasn't even gotten to UPS yet. They haven't come and picked it up. And then one I ordered on December 10th and their waiting time on hold was 74 minutes. So I figured I'll give it another couple days.
I imagine shipping capacity has been reserved by the government for vaccine distribution. I don't know that specifically, but that's probably what you're up against. And between holiday rush and vaccines, it's just going to take a long time, and that's it. Can't do anything about it.
Well, that and that the demands on all the shippers has been higher this year than ever before, except for the U.S. Post Office, which is still having a significant bump over the last couple of years because
FedEx is limiting certain retailers, you know, to so many packages a day or something like that.
Yeah, I heard that too. I haven't used UPS that much for my work. I started going with the post office. But this Christmas, I had a big, heavy package to go out to family. And it was going from Michigan to Maryland. It was big. It was very heavy. And it ended up costing me $16.62, which is cheaper than shipping a small package 45 miles away in Michigan. Figure that one out. It makes no sense. But it also got there in 2 or 3 days. It was lovely.
Did you do it online?
Actually, no. Because my scale pooped out on me and it was heavy enough that I couldn't by guess and by gosh it. So we went into a UPS store.
That might be the way to do it.
Well, crazy. I mean, $16.62. I expected I would be paying, you know, $30.
Well, through the post office, they have to do it by the size of the box also once it reaches a certain size.
So does UPS.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why my shipping my large plain pieces is so expensive because by the time they get them in the double wall box, it's too big. And they do it by size.
What's the dollar value of what you're shipping?
For me? The frame large frame pieces sell for $425. And it cost me $150 to ship.
Mark, I take it you do glass?
Actually sculpture, aluminum sculpture.
Oh, okay.
And then I like the idea of the background showing the art booth. Allison, that looks really good. I'll have to do that.
I have to give Larry credit for the booth shot.
My shipping experience in other fields was sometimes with expensive equipment we just had a horrible time with UPS, pretty good time with FedEx, especially internationally. FedEx wasn't perfect, but when they made a mistake, they covered it financially. UPS, a complete runaround, and they broke stuff a lot.
That was my job with FedEx. I'm a FedEx retiree.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
You were a claims adjuster?
No, I was customs clearance person.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. I did all the software for customs clearance.
Great. Things always went well.
Usually.
So compliments to FedEx.
The job was long periods of boredom punctuated by short periods of sheer hysteria.
So does anyone have in-person shows coming up that you're doing?
There's tentative ones, but that's it.
Scottsdale, March.
Yeah, I think the best chance would be the Florida shows.
Yeah, I'm in one in May, but they also said, you know, the Virginia State will not even look at their permit until March. And it's a huge show with very tight booths, and I don't see any way it can happen. And just a whole lot of people coming in from all different directions. I just don't see it happening unless things change. And I re-upped for the wait list at Columbus, so there's hope there, but basically, my next show is in September.
I've got several booked. We'll see if they happen. Scottsdale in March, and I'll take, you know, look at it 2 weeks before, and depending on what's going on, and we'll see if we'll see if the show happens.
Where do you live?
Denver, Colorado.
So it's not that far a drive.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a long day or maybe 2 days. 1,000 miles.
Oh, that is
kidding.
Well, that's the same as driving to Florida from Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's 1,000 miles.
About 800 from me. So that makes sense.
But it's only one state to travel rather than... what, 7 between Pennsylvania and Florida?
And the roads in the west are pretty simple. You don't even need a map, really. You just go west for, you know, a day, and then you turn, take a left, and then you go south for a while, and you wind up there.
Now that sounds good.
That's still going to Florida for me, too. Get on 95 and go. I learned that through Jacksonville did not go around that crazy ramp on 295. Yeah, I'd rather go through Jacksonville. Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really driven on the East Coast in a long time, and then I did Coconut Grove a couple years ago, and suddenly traffic everywhere.
Oh, it's, I don't know, you know, when I left Florida in 2011, it was still in recession, badly, closed doors everywhere. I'm looking at all these new roads. I mean, I got lost finding my office that I worked in for 10 years. And I'm looking and saying, where did they get all this money?
People fleeing from New York.
Well, it's the old, what do they call it? Where if they don't spend the money, they lose it.
Yeah, use it or lose it.
Right.
Anybody else have any shows?
Not me.
My gallery sold a piece over the weekend.
Did gallery sales go well for everyone this holiday, if you had any?
That and here and there online sales, but mostly gallery sales. I was lucky in that I got into my art center. They have monthly individual shows. I did one in February, and I think that pushed a lot of Charlottesville sales.
Good.
And then my gallery had me as their featured artist in September, which really bothers them. So So yeah, I would say 75% of my money is coming from galleries.
Well, it's been interesting hearing from people. You know, the questions are, how was your bottom line this year, not having in-show persons, in-person shows, if you had an online presence? And a lot of people have said that they did really very well, because let's face it, doing shows is not cheap.
Yeah, I'd say my income, my gross income is down, but I'm keeping more of the money.
Yep.
Yeah, for a lot of people, the shows are a way of life also, so they don't mind paying the extra money.
Yeah.
Dick told me probably 20 years ago that I needed to, or that I wasn't making any money. But it's kind of like, hey, you know, I am paying all my bills, and I've got, you know, and I'm enjoying myself. Plus, you know, I've done this for 40 some years. You know, it's who I am. It's what I am. Well, that got a raving response.
Well, how many people here can relate to that? I can.
Yeah.
I did shows for 13 or 14 years working full time and using up every ounce of my vacation time. When I retired in 2018, I said, well, I can go do all these shows. And I burnt myself out so fast. And plus, it was a horrible year for weather. Every single show, I mean, rain, excess heat, hail, thunderstorms. It was incredible. And so and I'm kind of thankful for 2018, because that's when I said, I must diversify. I can't do this. And so I got into galleries and set up the website better and all of that. So I think it sustained me this year.
Oh, I have reinvented myself I don't know how many times. I respect what you say, Bonnie, but I have lived a different experience.
Well, tell me yours.
Well, let's see. It's a checkered past. I worked as a foreman in a factory, got an MBA, worked in a defense contractor, worked for a software firm, worked for another defense contractor, started a website business. I've gone through multiple iterations of marketing plans, and I'm on a brand new one. And so, you know, it seems like even within my business, every several years, there's the environment changes, the technology changes, the business changes. And I mean, in some respects, you know, I've been working from home for 10 years. And as long as I have internet access, and a telephone, I'm viable. But what I'm doing from home changes. So instead of spending weekends at art shows talking to artists and art dealers about building them websites, I am trying to use social media to find people who want to build their own websites and would like a tutor and a support system. So that's a very different marketing model.
Very.
Seems like a significant change in my own head, whether it might seem like that to the rest of you or not, I'm not sure. But
well, it's interesting, because even though I've technically had the same job for close to forever, there have been so many pivots and changes in my business and changes in my focus, changes in my work. I mean, total, you know, 180s on all of that. So it's never been boring. Anyone else?
Well, I enjoy being at an art show. I've only been doing shows maybe 5 years. And the last year for the shutdown, you know, 2019, that was pretty good. It's actually starting to gain some traction and go to a show and have a little following and all that. And that was rewarding. And from a pure financial point of view, I've always done better when I've sold online and didn't speak to anybody in person.
That goes against all the rules.
in my previous business, which was equipment, you know, you're putting something in a box or on a truck and shipping it, didn't want anybody coming by to look at it, because invariably they, you know, no, there's the photo on the web, there's the price, do you want it? Yes, okay, what's your address, ship it. And that always did better than speaking to people. But I'm done with that. Now, if I can't speak to people, I don't really want to book the sale. Yeah, that does go against all the financial rules. Oh, well, you know, I'm an artist.
But it works.
Yeah, I'm just talking to people so much.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm just talking to people.
Yeah.
There was a movie quite a few years ago. Emma Thompson starred in it about, I think it was Carrington. She was an artist. She had money and she loved to paint and she lived a very interesting life, but she wasn't particularly interested in selling her work. So she was her own audience.
Well, I started out as a med tech, you know, lab. Navy, and then kids came along, and one of them had special needs and can't do that because couldn't leave them with anybody. So my hobby became something that needed to pay for itself at least, and hopefully a bit over, and that's how my business started. And then did pretty good until 2008. And then suddenly nobody had the money to buy, you know, Frufras. Then shows started shutting down, the ones that I could get to and still deal with, you know, family needs. So now I have one real one, and that's Comic-Con. And last year it was shut down, or this past year, because, you know, 130,000 attendees, when you know, generally it's shoulder to shoulder people, you can't do that and deal with quarantines. Sure. So I don't know. Now my husband's retiring and he wants his share of the space here.
I moved to Florida in 2000 and discovered art festivals, and from that point on, I started working towards doing them full time, but it's hard to pivot from a highly paid computer programming person to a less income artist. So it took a while.
Yeah.
Larry, when did you stop doing shows?
After my second rotator cuff tear.
Oh.
Yeah.
I couldn't put the roof on my canopy anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like 4 or 5 years ago. But at that point, I was only doing 3 or 4 a year. I cut back around 2000, 2002. And then when Zap started in 2004, everybody came to me to scan their slides. And that became a full-time job right away.
I remember that.
Yes, Zap was telling shows that I was a solution. And they would have all their artists send me their slides to scan.
Zap made you rich.
At that point, remember they gave me an award a couple of years ago when the conference was at Louisville. That they would have never gotten off the ground if it wasn't for me. I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's good.
Good for you. Good for you.
You know, because when it first, we had already done a survey of all the art shows and whether or not they were planning on going to digital images. And we gave that survey information to Zap and Juried Art Services. And they used it to contact all the shows.
I was on the board of the NAIA when Zap was being developed. And it was a very interesting time. I got to go to a bunch of shows and talk to the artists about Zap, and because I am a huge fan, and I was a fan from the beginning. Yeah, it was very interesting. So I was a beta tester. It was great.
Yeah, when Naya backed out of part ownership,
yep.
I wanted to get together with a couple of other artists and get a stake in Zap. But the way it was set up is you had to be a nonprofit.
Yep. And I firmly campaigned against the NAIA being a part owner of Zap because it went against our best interests for our artists. So we would be rich, probably. But ethically, it was the right decision.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that because you would have had some say in how the system was working.
Well, and, but the shows that are part owners don't have a lot of say.
Well, they choose not to.
Yeah.
Terry Adams was the spokesperson for the show directors that were owners. Before he left Cherry Creek. I was friends with Jay Downey and Zap made some changes that the show directors weren't aware of. Like when you uploaded images, because they were no longer saying you needed to upload them square with black borders, they would be doing it. And the show directors thought that the images that were actually uploaded were the images that they would see in the jury room, but that wasn't the case anymore.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, and that's why Zap was saying you don't need black borders anymore because they did it. So
I hate those black borders. I have to say but I'm looking at it slightly different. When you see it on a screen or whatever, it looks great, but as a show director for my little show, I have to take all those blasted black borders off in order to use the images. Drives me nuts.
At that point, you could say to the artists to send you images.
Oh, that does not work.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people will do that? 3.
Yeah, I was going to say 5.
Because they're my friends and they, you know, they know that I'll give them crap if they don't.
Yeah, I once wrote a Photoshop script on to take off the black borders and I gave it to Fort Myers and it worked.
Well, where were you when I needed one?
Well, they came to me with a problem.
Oh.
So, Bonnie, maybe you have a solution for the future at least.
Yes. It's got to be easier than taking them all, you know, cropping all of them. Because we use every single image that people send to us.
Yeah, see, the question is, okay, if Zap adds the black borders and then they go to jury with them, do they only do that if the shows are projecting the images? Probably. Sure. So the artists that have uploaded the images without black borders, because you're not a projection show, you're getting those images.
Interesting. I'm trying to think. I do a lot of jurying, but it's not in-site jurying anymore. It's pretty much just monitor jurying.
Right. And the monitor jurying, you can't tell if they have borders because the background is black.
Yeah. Interesting.
But anyway, that's a whole other issue.
I just like that after Zap, I no longer have to send in two checks.
You no longer, pardon me?
Most of the shows, once Zap came out, that you paid after you were accepted.
Oh, that was one of the best things ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Trying to balance your checkbook when you've got outstanding booth fee payments to, you know, 60 zillion shows. Okay, maybe not 60 zillion, but a lot.
You actually balance your checkbook.
Exactly. You get into your favorite and you need something else.
I've never balanced my checkbook.
Larry, I don't balance mine, but once a year, you know, I live with a CPA. He goes through and balances everything to make sure I'm.
I just look at my statement online to see what my how much money I have.
Oh.
Yep.
I can do a second.
And then I try to remember what checks I've written in the last week that might not have come through yet.
I never used to do that. Just check the balance and figure you have enough money.
I never write checks anymore. I can't tell you the last time I wrote a check.
Well, some shows want a check so they can hold it and not cash it until you've been accepted or something. Or that's how it was. It used to be with me.
Yeah, not...
Now it's again online. There's a few things that have to that want a check for whatever reason.
I just wrote a check to the Waterways show in August.
The Woodlands show's
coming
Waterway?
Up in August. Woodlands, excuse me. Yeah.
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 Have you done it before?
I haven't.
It is a fun show. You may end up on the waterway itself, so make sure you have lots of weights. It's a beautiful location if you're there. Bitch to set up and take down. Hmm. They have a really good... They used to have a really good party the night before the show, but you all had to... All the artists had to donate a piece of work, and then the patrons would come in and buy a ticket, and then when their number came up, they got to race through the room where all the goodies were and pick out something.
Great.
You know, it was great fun, but not fair to the artists.
Yeah.
And it had to be over a certain dollar amount value.
I attended a few of those shows. It was like, you know, some people had like soap, so you got to borrow soap free.
Yeah.
My stuff started, you know, cost to me was like $20. So that was almost half the show, the booth fee.
Well, in this case, the people paid $100 for their tickets. And I think you had to give something with a value of over 200.
Oh.
Now, Mark, don't worry because I don't think they do it that way anymore. But it's a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
You will enjoy it. And You'll probably make a lot of money.
Okay, well, if I can sell a few pieces, great, you know.
Yeah.
That's thanks for the feedback on that. If I do a show, if I sell a couple of pieces, I'm happy. If anything more than that is great.
Excellent.
Pretty low expectation, that way you don't get too disappointed. And I've donated pieces for a silent auction or the manned scramble auction, like you were just describing, most of the times I've done that, it's actually worked out pretty well. People see, in a silent auction, people see the piece and it brings them by the booth. They're like,
I
didn't want that piece, but I liked your style. What else do you have? And then that's worked out pretty good. In one case, it didn't. In a couple other cases, it worked out pretty well.
Well, my 1 year with the Mad Scramble, I like that term. Someone had picked out my pieces that they wanted, but somebody took them before their number came up. So they came to my booth and bought some. And so that was very nice. I don't know. It was fun. The artists were able to go for free, and it was just, you know, it was fun. So what else do you have coming up?
Well, let's see, and we'll see how much of this happens, but Scottsdale in March, Old Town Chicago, I guess, in June.
Ooh, have you done that one?
I have not.
Ooh, you'll enjoy it.
Crazy. June sounds possible.
Was
March seems unlikely, but June seems possible.
I didn't.
June seems possible to me. You know, there'll be a lot of vaccines by then.
Okay, heard you. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope to have one by then.
Hopefully us. Two.
And then what else? Omaha, and then Bellevue Art Museum in Bellevue, Washington. And supposed to be rescheduled for Main Street, Fort Worth, but haven't heard from them.
Well, you got some.
You have a killer schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, there's two or three others. It remains to be seen how much of it actually happens.
But those are really good shows.
Yep. You're going to have a fun year if they go.
Well, I hope so. There's another one. Hey, there's a couple others, but anyway, so. And last year I was being very anal retentive with spreadsheets about scheduling which show and what week. And this year it seems like, oh my God, all that just went out the window because the shows have been ground or not held or whatever. So I don't know how everybody else is scheduling their time or trying to schedule their time.
Well, and then they're rescheduling shows on top of weekends that already have good shows. It's like, you know, pick a different weekend.
I know the two shows I wanted to do, Carefree Arizona and Scottsdale, they're both on the same weekend. They're like 10 miles apart.
Oh, jeez.
And it's just like, you know, I had to call up Carefree and go, you know, I'm sorry. I can't be there. So.
Well, that sounds like it would be bad for artists at both places. They're only that far apart.
Are they normally the same weekend?
No, they're usually offset by a week or two.
Normally, we have a couple shows in the fall, Crozet and then the Virginia Fall Foliage Festival. They both run the same weekend. And people, because they're probably about 15, 20 miles apart, people go to one in the morning and the other one in the afternoon. But they also have very different stuff. Crozet is a little more country craft and Fall
Foliage
is a little nicer artwork.
Yeah, and well, that's like the Cincinnati and Columbus. Some years they're on adjacent weekends, and then some years they're on the same weekend, depending on how many weekends are in June.
No, but I keep the spreadsheet, and I keep it all the way back to, well, I've got it back to 2011. And then I put in my booth space, if I like the booth space, so I can request it again, and also how much money I made. So it allows me for good decision making. And then I also leave a space in between if it's, I try not to schedule two weekends in a row anymore.
Too tiring?
I did Artie Spear and then Reston, which Artie Spear, I get home Monday and Reston, I leave Wednesday. And Artie Spear was a real good selling show for me, so it was kind of a hectic Tuesday.
How was Artie Spear?
Artie Spear is awesome. It's such a fun show, and they take real good care of you. I mean, they have breakfast, basically breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but they also have the helpers will go get it for you, so you don't have to leave your booth. And it's very well run. It's really a cool show. I love it.
That's great.
Yeah, the only problem is there's only like 100 spaces, right?
Yeah, 135 spaces, and they basically get about 1,100 applications.
Yeah.
I love that show. It's just, and I had a Starbucks right across from my booth. Oh, yeah, it was lovely.
And it's such a beautiful town.
It really is.
It's such a help. It's such a help to bring food to you. It really is. If I could just figure out how to have the helpers go to the bathroom for me, I would.
Yeah, yeah.
How's it working?
I totally agree with that.
Another thing about Artie's here, though, is that the people are very supportive. The town is very supportive. So you don't get the stink eye if you go into a restaurant and use the bathroom.
Is anybody doing Virginia Beach?
Sausalito was like that.
I gave up Virginia Beach a couple of years ago.
That's a,
I wasn't making the money.
It's a terrible show to do.
I love doing it because I got the hotel right
really?
On the beach and it made
right
it very
behind your spot. Yeah.
Right by my spot, yeah, and I could check on my booth at night, and I could park the van and leave it for the entire weekend. But it just wasn't making, I mean, the hotel was $200 a night, so it just wasn't making the money to support the hotel. And if you don't have the hotel on the beach, I think it'd be a nightmare to do.
A love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
That's one I never wanted to do.
Oh, I used to love it until they required photography to be numbered.
Oh, yeah.
And then they told everybody to take their prints up to the room and put numbers on them for the next day.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. It's the only show that has art police.
Yes.
They come around and check to see if your photographs are numbered.
Well, Comic Con, for the art show, what we have to do is go around and put dots over nipples that are showing or any genitalia.
Well, that's funny.
It has to be family friendly, and that means no female nipple showing and...
It's not fair. If they're going to cover up the women's, then they ought to be covering up the men's.
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell if that's a guy or a girl.
I guess it wouldn't be a show for Alan Teagan.
Well, it's gotten so that the artists send them in with dots over on the baggie that, you know, on their prints or on the plexiglass, whatever. But or post-it notes. One lady, she did like full frontal type nudity type things, and she put a post-it note there, and it was labeled "naughty bits." So, it's you know the guy that has to that's job is to make sure that kind of stuff is done. Just goes.
Yeah, going in the opposite direction, Chris Marr does the Detroit Dirty Show every year.
Well, he does what are called furry conventions, art show, and that's anthropomorphic animals that are doing interesting things, like
cat women with, you know, full nudity or whatever, but, you know, they're cats, so they have fur. So is that nude or not? But it is by the family-friendly type thing. Furry conventions are considered adult only. And there's some very strange people there from what I understand. I've never been to one.
I met a furry at a show back in 2019. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
It came to my booth and
well,
costume.
Yeah, they're interesting, yes. And some of them walk around in costume. There was a blue cat lady. She had 6 breasts, and she was interviewed, and somebody asked her, what set is real? Because all she had on was the blue paint, plus the 2 sets of prosthesis breasts, and, you know, she did her whole mouth in a cat face and everything, so it was good costuming. And then there was Poison Ivy. All she was wearing was a G-string and green paint. Something in her hair. She looked like she had had quite a bit of plastic surgery. She must have been in her 50s, maybe 60s, and I don't know, too tight in the face. And one guy, he said, you know, afterwards, he says, there I am, a heterosexual male, and she's standing next to me, and all I could think is, I hope she doesn't get paint on me.
Yeah. How was the show for sales?
Which one?
The Comic-Con that you're just talking about.
This year, not... I sold one item, but like Allison said, I didn't have the expenses, and it was online, and for whatever reason, it had to be on Tumblr, which is not a sales site. It's a social media site for teenage girls.
Oh.
That's the main demographic there. Low income, teenage, college age girls. So... You know, yeah, I put in a lot of time to put those up because I didn't have a Tumblr account or know how to use it or anything, but I didn't have to pay the parking, which downtown is very expensive. There wasn't any charge for space because Comic-Con wasn't paying for, you know, a hotel ballroom to set up the show in, and it's a free site. Free social media site. So it's like, meh. But usually I come, I don't know, I double my expenses as far as what I sell and so on there. And it's fun. It's a working vacation, you know. But,
my granddaughter likes anime conventions. That's what I got for Christmas, was an anime outfit.
Yeah, we had a couple down here, and there's a lot of overlap between who goes to Comic-Con and who went to the other ones. And that one got sort of blown out of water because LA had one too, and that was just too close, and the time to do them were about the same time, so nobody wanted to go to 2, and there were other problems too. And then we had 2 other local science fiction type conventions. One of them closed down because, again, trying to keep it staffed. It was all volunteer staffing, and the other one decided it was too much hassle to run an art show, so they just had a vendor floor, which, you know, they didn't have anybody that had to be there running the thing, and the vendors paid a lot more for a space than artist space, because all of them were nonprofit, so it was Yeah. If your 10-year-old kid wanted to have a space, well, it wasn't that expensive, so you could let your kid have get the kid a space, and they get to say, oh, I got the art show. Which, and you know, Comic-Con has a few of those every year, and they're kind of neat to see some of them are really good too. And, a lot of the, I guess, current professionals in the comics and movie industry started in Comic-Con.
So. I wonder if there's going to be any pent-up demand for what shows really get going.
Yes.
Well, hopefully the people renting it can survive until then and not have to go into something else. That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, like with Comic-Con, everybody's a volunteer except for, you know, the main, I guess the board is the only paid members, and then the office staff. But all the others are volunteers. Something like, 2,000 volunteers?
Wow.
Yeah. To run it.
Well, I think there's going to be tremendous demand at the art fairs.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think people will be buying, yes.
Yeah, I think the only problem we're going to see is the shows that are grandfathered from this year's cancellations. And they're going to have fewer spaces to jury for 2021.
Yeah. But it's only for 1 year.
Right.
And it's the fairest. Fairest thing to do for those artists that got in.
Right.
Right. Well, that's not the problem, though. But, you know, are they going to have to space it out and therefore cut the number of spaces available?
Depends on how late in the year the shows are scheduled to take place.
Probably. Well, and how the vaccine does.
The one show that I'm in, they changed the location. So instead of being in a park, we're in a parking lot. So we get to park our car right there. We're spaced out 10 feet. So they're going to keep every artist they had. And this is the first weekend in May. So it can still snow here in Michigan. But hopefully that's what they decided to do. They doubled their space by giving the parking lot away.
Is that a Krazzle?
What?
Is that the Krazzle show?
It's a tulip festival. I'm in Michigan, and I pretty much stay in Michigan. So
I'm in Michigan, too.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. So it's, like I said, a lot of new shows. They're trying new places so they can spread us out farther. Because the park was pretty big. They had, you know, bunched up together. So they decided to try something new. The city approved it. So.
Are they going to let you park behind your booth?
They're letting us park really close, which is nice.
That is fantastic.
It is fantastic. So it'll be easy in to unload and set up. But it'll be interesting to see. Because normally you have 10 minutes, unload everything, and move your car.
Yes. I used to do South Haven, and we used to park right behind our booth.
Oh, those were the days. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Have your car or van right there.
Oh, somebody can take a nap while other person's in your tent. So get two of us. We can take naps.
Oh, perfect.
So,
yeah. I love being under the oaks in Florida because I can park the van right behind the booth.
Yeah, that was the only one in Florida that I did that you could do that. Well,
I bailed on a show where the setup was going to be too difficult. Just, you know, you had to be about a quarter mile away, and it's not a tier one show. It's a local show, and they were just being really a pain to work with. And I thought, I don't need this. Well, you're not going to get your $50 deposit back. I was like, well,
well, I had one that they said, don't worry, you know, we have a shuttle. You're going to park like a mile or two away, but we have a shuttle. And I said, well, great. What time does it start in the morning? Right before the show. Well, as a jeweler, it takes me a long time to set out the work. And when does it end? You know, like 20 minutes after the end of the show or something. So I totally missed the shuttle the first time. And oh, was I pissed?
Oh, oh boy.
Blame you. If I have to restock, look at what I have to carry.
Yeah.
And as a jeweler, carrying, you know, easily stolen things around is not a great idea. So any distance. Well,
that is exactly it.
The problem I have is the display item. I mean, I could probably pack all the little bits into a carry-on, you know, and roll it. But, you know, I have a mannequin I have to put up to display a shawls on, you know, the necklace boards or things. That's most of my bulk.
Does anybody know if Gasparilla setup has gotten any less confusing? I heard they moved.
I believe it has gotten better. But I've not done it since it got better because it was just recent.
I did it the year to end all years as far as the setup right now.
So I am going to say goodbye because this was a call for tech support that I've been waiting for. I will see you guys next week.
Yeah, see you next year.
Yeah. See you next year.
Thanks, Frank.
I've been making those jokes all week.
Now it's been played on you.
Yep.
Okay.
I haven't been able to say that to anybody because I haven't talked to anybody.
So, but I'm going to have to go anyway because it's time for me to feed the puppies.
Well, it's time for me to check on the chickens, see if they got rained on.
Thank you all. This has been lovely.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a nice
evening. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.